I want to talk this morning about the presence of God. I want to talk about hosting the presence. God has called you to carry the presence of the Lord. God has called you to host the presence, to host the Holy Spirit, to carry the Holy Spirit. What a call. What a call. And so I want to talk about that this morning, about hosting the presence, carrying the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read a scripture out of John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I want you to focus on that word, remained. The Holy Spirit came and rested upon Jesus when he was baptized by John, and the Spirit remained with him. The Spirit found an abiding place. The Spirit found a place to dwell. And Jesus became a host, a carrier of the presence of God, of the presence of the Lord, hosting the presence. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word today, and I just ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I believe you're taking us somewhere this morning with the presence of God, Lord, to minister to your people, and I just ask that you speak to our hearts through the word of Jesus, and I thank you for it. In the mighty name of the Lord, amen. And everybody said amen. You know, a lot of times in church tradition, and it's been this way really for hundreds of years, and rightfully so, our center, the thing that we revolve around, is the preaching of the word, the preaching of the word of God. We have sermons, and our pastors and our evangelists and our teachers, they bring us the word of God. They speak to us the word, and it kind of revolves around the word. And that's good, because we need to be taught, and we need the word of God, and we need to grow. We need that in addition to worship. Worship ushers in the presence of the Lord. And the word of God gives us structure and gives us growth, and we need both. But we need to be careful that we don't become so centered on just the word that we forget the presence part, and that we forget to seek the anointing and the presence, and that we cultivate the presence of the Lord. When Ezekiel had the vision of the dry bones in the valley, and God said, preach the word, speak the word of God, prophesy. And Ezekiel began to speak the word of the Lord and begin to prophesy and speak the word. And when he did, the bones started coming together, and they started forming and sinew and flesh and muscle and structure started. The word of God brought structure. And when he got through prophesying the word of God, there was an entire army laying in that valley. It was no longer a valley full of dry bones. It was an army of corpses that were laying in that valley, all over that valley. That's what the word of God did. But then God spoke to Ezekiel and said, now speak to the wind. And he spoke to the winds, and the four winds came and breathed life into that army, and they stood on their feet. Amen? We need the presence. We need the wind. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we are a church that very much believes in the gifts and operation and manifestation and moving of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you that we will have teaching and we will have sound doctrine, but I want us to be a church that is open to the moving of the Holy Spirit and the resting of God's presence. Amen? Israel, the people of Israel, they camped around the presence. I want to say that again. Israel camped around the presence. It was a pillar of fire by day, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. And they camped around that presence and the tabernacle that was there and the presence of God. The Shekinah glory of God came and rested in the Holy of Holies. And that's where they camped. That's where I want us to camp. I want us to set our tents around the presence of God and start seeking the presence of God. I want to see us start allowing more time in our services to cultivate the presence of God. Not just hear a sermon and go home, but to cultivate the presence of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. It was a prayer in Isaiah 64, and the prophet prayed, "Oh Lord, rend the heavens." That word rend is tear open. Tear open the heavens. And that really should be our prayer. God, rend the heavens, tear open the heavens, and come down and visit with us. When Jesus was baptized, he saw the fulfillment of this prayer. He saw the heavens opened. The heavens, the Bible says the heavens parted, and that word parted is a violent word. They were torn apart. As if there were obstacles and things that were in the way, and God tore it open and moved it out of the way, and he came and manifested his presence. There may be things that we have to fight. There may be things that we have to stand against. There may be things that we have to do to create an open heaven. But we need to be diligent to see that there's an open heaven over our ministry, over our city, over our county. Amen? And that God is wanting to open the heavens and rend the heavens and come down and rest upon us. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. It came and rested upon Jesus like a dove. The Holy Spirit came, and that verse says, and remained. I want to see the Holy Spirit remain. You know, every once in a while we have these visitations of God's glory and those powerful services, and the anointings of the Lord are released and the glory of the Lord is released. But I don't want that just every once in a while, but all the time. And it can be all the time if we learn to cultivate the presence of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit will remain. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit comes and he goes. That's not what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit abides in you. He lives within you. He dwells within you. But there's a difference between the Holy Spirit being in you and the Holy Spirit resting upon you and walking in the Spirit. It's one thing to have the Holy Spirit in you. It's another thing to have him resting upon you, leading you, guiding you. I tell people a lot, it's one thing to say, I possess the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to say, I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when you go to work tomorrow, tell somebody you're possessed. Just be careful how you say it. But that we're possessed by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit abides. The Bible says that Christ may dwell richly. That word dwell is be at home. That he, you know how when you go to some people's houses and you're not real comfortable, you know, it's not really, maybe you're not acquainted real well with the people, so you have trouble getting real comfortable, you know, you're not sure what the rules are, you know, it's like when you're at home and you throw off your shoes and you put on your baggy pajamas and you can really get comfortable and you can really get situated. And that's what this verse is talking about. It's not, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to come and sit in your house and be uncomfortable. He wants to come and take his shoes off and he wants to get comfortable with you. He wants relationship with you. He wants intimacy with you. And that determines how open, how much you have cultivated the Holy Spirit in your life, that you and the Holy Spirit are close to one another. You walk with him every day. You talk with him. You associate with him. You cultivate the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is comfortable with you. There are people the Holy Spirit's not comfortable with. There are places where the dove has trouble settling because we sometimes walk in disobedience, or we walk in rebellion, or we walk in ways we shouldn't. And the Holy Spirit, he just has trouble settling in. It's like when Noah released the dove, and the dove found no place for the sole of his foot, and he came back. There was no place he could rest. There was no place he could find to settle. God is looking for places to settle. God, the dove, is winnowing his wings and looking for a place where he can come and abide. I want that to be me. And I want that to be you, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is, listen, God wants to fellowship with the Holy Spirit in you. Let me say that again. God wants to fellowship with the Holy Spirit that is in you. No man knows the things of God except by the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord communicating with God the Father, the Spirit of God that is in you becoming one with the Father. And then it gets in you, and then you can begin the process of releasing the presence, of hosting the presence. The Word of God in your mouth is more powerful than anything else in this world. The Word of God in your mouth, released from you, is more powerful than anything else. He said, my word will not go out void or empty, but will perform that for which it was sent or appointed. That's the power of you releasing the word of God. But you have to grow it. You have to develop it. You have to get to where the Holy Spirit is comfortable with you. You know, we like to talk about David and Goliath. David was on a big stage that day. All the armies of Israel were watching. All the armies of the Philistines were watching. And David was on that stage with that slingshot and that giant, and everybody was watching, and he performed great exploits, and the giant fell, and everybody roared and shouted, and it was a great and mighty victory. And there was great applause to what David did. The maidens of Israel sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. And there was great adulation because of what David did. But we often forget about David's private victories when nobody was watching, when nobody was looking, when he killed the bear and he killed the lion, and there was no big audience. He was by himself, and there was no applause, but he was doing great exploits. He was learning. He was growing. He was maturing. He was being prepared. I want you to know something, church. We can't just come in here on Sundays and expect there to be a great glory cloud when all week long we haven't been taking care of the bears and the lions. There are those private times with God when we need to nurture our personal relationship with the Lord, and we need to have those private victories, amen? We need to be having those private victories. Then we can come in here and see some of the public victories because we've prepared. David was prepared. Saul said, wear my armor. And what did David say? That armor's not tested. That armor's not tried. I haven't used that. I'm going with what I know. Amen? He knew it. He used it. When the woman came and touched Jesus' garment, he's just walking along. And there was a tug. There was a tug as that woman touched his garment. And the Bible says healing virtue went out from him. Remember the verse that said the Holy Spirit remained on him. Oh, this is so good. The Holy Spirit, he's full of the Holy Ghost. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's full of the power of God. He's walking in it. He's carrying it. He's nurturing it. And when that woman grabbed hold of him, he turned around and he said, who touched me? He said, I felt power. Glory to God. I felt power go out of my body. She put a demand on the anointing that was in him. She grabbed hold of him and put a demand on that anointing. The anointing is tangible. Jesus felt it leave, or felt part of it. He felt it go. He felt it release. It's a tangible thing. The anointing is a tangible thing. She touched his garment. At the end of Mark, later, it says that other people went around longing to touch his garment. Why? Because it says they heard and it started something. They were wanting that touch and they were longing for that touch. Paul sent out prayer cloths. That he was a tent maker and he could cut a piece of cloth and lay his hand on it and they could take it to other people. And there was a tangible anointing resting on that cloth. The Bible says Peter's shadow fell on people and they were healed. These men were walking in a tangible anointing. Amen. I read a story about Charles Spurgeon walking under such an anointing that he was touring a textile factory in England, and he walked on the floor of the factory and the sewing machines were running and running, and hundreds of ladies were working those machines and they were sewing and working the fabric, and all the machines were running, and he was walking across the floor of the factory, and all of a sudden the machines started shutting down one by one by one by one until the factory floor fell silent, and all the women across that factory floor were weeping under conviction because this man walked with the presence of God upon him. Oh, church, to be a carrier of God's presence, amen? To be a carrier of the presence of God. Listen to this. This challenges me. This moves me. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own except by the Father. I will tell you why that moves me. He is telling you this is what you can do. He didn't come in all of his glory as God and all of his might. He laid it all aside. He came just like us, and he showed what a man can do when he walks in the fire and the presence of God. He showed what a man can do when he sold out and obedient to the Father. He said, greater works than these shall ye do. How? By hosting the presence, carrying the presence, walking in the presence. Amen? Hallelujah. So here's what that means. We are stewards of a person. We are stewards of a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. We are stewards of a person. And in order to carry that person and carry the presence and host the presence, we have to walk uprightly before the Lord. And he gave you a way to do that. There are two rails that we're walking between. There's a rail on this side and there's a rail on this side. And God wants you to walk between those rails. One rail is called grieving the Holy Spirit. If you lean up against that rail and you start pushing against that rail, you start grieving the Holy Spirit because of your lifestyle or because of things you do or things you see or things you think about, or maybe you've wondered a little bit and you're now grieving the Holy Spirit and you're rubbing up against that rail. He don't want you that, he wants you in the middle. The other rail over here is called quenching the Holy Spirit. That means stopping the flow, cutting it off. When God starts to move and the glory starts to fall, and we're too busy, or we got to do this, or we got to be there, and we start rushing out, and we start quenching the move of the Holy Spirit. People used to linger around altars. People used to come and wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. They that wait on the Lord. And so you're not bouncing off those rails, but you're walking in the middle, and they're there for your good. We were in Canada several years ago on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls, and Jonathan was little, and there were no rails between us and the waterfall and the river, and the waterfall was up here, and we were walking by the river, and the river was just rushing. I mean, it was just, it looked like it was moving at 50 miles an hour. I mean, that water was just, you know, and if you'd have fell over in that water, you were gone. I mean, there was nothing that could stop you. It would sweep you away. And we're walking along, and Jonathan, I turned around, and there was a brick stone wall about just that high. And on the other side of that stone wall was the river, was the water, was Niagara Falls. And Jonathan jumped up on that stone wall. And I turned around and saw him on that wall, and he was inches away from, I mean, if he lost his balance, if, you know, and my first response was to grab him. But then I didn't want to startle him, you know what I mean? I thought, if I go to grab him and I startle him and he goes over that edge, he's gone. And my heart just about stopped, and I just said, Jonathan, stop, freeze, Don't move. And I eased over to him and got my arms around him and got him away from that thing, you know, because it was so much peril. And I thought, man, they need a 6 or 8 foot fence or something up here. This is crazy. But you see, God has put something for us to keep us from falling over in the swift waters of this world. There are rails that God says, if you'll walk between them, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. And walking between those rails means walking with a dove on your shoulder. The dove that came and rested upon Jesus and the dove that rested on your shoulder. And to keep that dove, you gotta walk just right so that it don't fall off, so that it don't fly away. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit departing. I'm talking about relationship and keeping that dove. You know, are we doing that? And we wonder why the presence of God is not more manifest. We wonder why the presence of God is not more real. And in places where churches are just denying the supernatural. It's like we don't want the supernatural in our midst anymore. We just want to come together and have a few songs and a nice little word that makes us feel better and we all go home. Folks, I want an encounter with God. I want an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Glory to God. Why? Why were his words spirit and life? Because the Holy Spirit was abiding. The Holy Spirit was remaining. The Holy Spirit was dwelling. The Holy Spirit was all over him. He was consumed with it. And when he released it, when he spoke it, his words were spirit and his words were life. Hallelujah. My words are spirit and life. You are releasing a person. The Holy Spirit, you are hosting the presence. You're hosting the presence.